Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Now, Lord, as always, we ask that our light will shine in our hearts this morning to give us knowledge and to give us revelation and bring us closer to the understanding of the Son of God. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you for that which you have provided in store for us. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. And you know, the Bible says that in the book of Luke chapter 4, Jesus went into the temple after, you know, his testing and the fasting and all of that. And then he found, you know, they gave him the book of Isaiah. And he found the place where it was written. And he read. But he stopped short of this verse 2. He read it up to the point where it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped right there. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. So Jesus could not proclaim the day of vengeance at that time, because it wasn't the day of vengeance yet. He came to proclaim the mercies of the Lord. He came to bring a salvation story to us. But today, I want to stand here and proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. It is just around the corner, folks. And our message today, I'm back in the Revelation series. I'm going to cover about 4 chapters today. I'm going to go real quick. You know, chapters 6 through 9. I mean, I know I did chapter 6 a long time ago. The introduction of the opening of the seals, you know, and the shadows of the end, and the beginning of sorrows and various things. I'm going to cover all the things, the vengeance of our God, you know, the wrath. So the message is Revelation chapter 6 through 9, the wrath of God's judgment and the great escape. So I'm going to be rushing through, I will rush through all those judgments and so forth, because I don't want to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the great escape. Amen. Amen, somebody. Well, God has a plan of escape. You know, and that's what we're going to focus on. He's got a plan how his elect will escape some of these tremendous things that are coming. And I want you to stay with me in this message, because we're going to rush through those judgments and the various things that are coming on the earth. But we're going to focus on how we may escape. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm going to start there. Now, remember, this is the book of Revelation. So I'll be going back to the book of Revelation and be reading all those things, but I'm going to just start, you know, give you a foundation here. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape Well, I'm going to be talking about that escape plan this morning. But how shall we escape if we neglect the great plan of salvation, which God, you know, he said, at first began to be spoken by the Lord himself. He went to the temple and picked up that book of Isaiah and he read it. And that was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How can you escape, you know, if you neglect the way that God has provided for escape? So keep that in your mind as we go through these things this morning. And we're going to come back to the great plan of escape that God has promised us and how it's all going to come together, you know, and what he asked us to do in order for us to be able to escape. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. We covered this before. You can find the message on our website. It's called Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the seals, the shadows of the end. So I'm not going to do too much about that, but I do want to remind us that after the Lord, the Lamb, stepped forward and took that book, which nobody else could read or open, and John was crying about it, you know, he stepped forward, and when he did it, you know, then we see that, you know, he began to open the seals, and various things begin to show forth themselves, you know. So I'm going to, you know, that's all I'm going to talk about in that chapter 6, because we covered that before. But I'm going to go to chapter 7. I'm going to go through this quickly. And we see in chapter 7, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Notice the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying unto them, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our forehead. And begin to tell us all the people that were sealed from the children of Israel, you know. And that's just the sealing for the children of Israel that's in this chapter here. 144,000 were sealed. And we're going to talk a little bit about that sealing and what it means and where our own sealing comes from and what it is all about. So that chapter covers all that. And he mentioned 12,000 from each of the tribes that were sealed, all the way to verse 8. And then in verse 9, after this, I beheld. Now, here's where our message begins to come out this morning. Revelation 7 and verse 9, after this, I beheld. After he saw all the sealing for the children, for the tribes of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. Now, notice, this wasn't just Israel. Of all nations and all kindreds and people and tongues, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes, and they had palms in their hands. Obviously, they are celebrating something. And he said, when he looked, you know, these were people cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels that were round about the throne, and the elders, and all of them, and the four living creatures, they fell down on their faces and worshipped God and said, amen. Blessing and glory. We sing this song, you know, and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might unto our God forever and ever. You know, so one of the elders came up to John and said, who are these that are arrayed with white robes, and where did they come from? And John said, well, I don't know, sir. I know not, but you're the one that might have the answer. So he turned around and told John, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him night and day in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Can you say amen to that? They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. neither shall the sunlight upon them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them to the fountain of living waters, or living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, he said, these are they that came out of great tribulation. Well, you know, so people, you know, some people, there have been all kinds of opinions about this, you know, and he said, all the people that came out of the, he didn't say that great tribulation, but there's been great tribulation all throughout the ages. I don't think that the people that are coming out of the so-called great tribulation at the end will be numberless. I mean, these people were numberless. John said, these are people that could not be numbered. You know, I believe that, you know, some of these people have been there for a long time, you know, and they overcame many, many things in their times, you know, and they will stand before the Lamb, you know, and the throne of God, and Jesus himself will dwell among them, and he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, they also made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, these are people that have been washed and saved and so forth like that. Now, this particular scripture does not say that these are the ones that got the victory over the beast and over the false prophet. No, not in this scripture. It didn't say that, you know. So, you know, we don't know that these are those ones. I think there are a lot more. These people are a lot more than just those ones, because John couldn't number these folks. I mean, so, and I believe with all my heart that these are folks that came out of tribulation. All that's been tribulation. Jesus said it from in John chapter 16 and 33. He said, look, in the world, you shall have tribulation. People have been having tribulation. I mean, there have been all kinds of things. And we're going to talk a little bit about the time of Jacob's trouble in a minute. But there's been tribulation all through. But there's going to be one thing at the end that people call the great tribulation. You know, but these people, I believe that these are not just those folks, because otherwise those folks can't, I think those folks can be numbered. But, you know, nevertheless, these folks came out of great tribulation and they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they will be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. They shall hunger no more, and they shall thirst no more, and all that. And I'm going to come back to some of these. I want to just read these chapters quickly. And chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, so he opened all the other seals in the chapter 6 and so forth, you know. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. Now, this verse here had people guessing and, you know, saying all kinds of whatever, you know, opinions, revelation, teaching, whatever. But we don't know what was here in this silence. All we know is that there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. To John, who was writing this, whatever half an hour meant to him, you know, that's what it looked like. You know, nothing was going on. Because usually, you know, there's no quiet in heaven. They're always saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, you know, and so forth. But this time, when he opened that seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for almost half an hour. What do you mean? Silence? Well, let's see what came out of that silence. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now remember, we've preached a message on trumpets before. A trumpet can be used for sounding an alarm, can be used for giving a message, can be used for a warning, and so on and so forth. And it can be used for, you know, introducing an event that's about to happen. You know, they blew trumpets in the olden days in Jewish custom. They blew trumpets for war, to ready the people. They even blew trumpets when there was a wedding. You know, they blew trumpets. It was different kind of trumpets and different sounds to it. You know, when it sounded this way, if it sounded long this way, or it sounded this way, it meant this and it meant that. When it was a sound of joy, they blew it a different way. So the seven angels, you know, they stood before God, and they were given unto them seven trumpets. Well, I don't think that these trumpets here, you're going to see, these are not the trumpets of joy. These are the trumpets that are going to announce God's wrath of his indignation upon the earth. You know, but before he did that, God always does this, right? Look at verse 3. Now, these seven angels are preparing to pour out some serious things or announce some serious, you know, judgments upon the world. But in verse 3, I saw another angel came and stood before the altar having a golden censer. And there was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, I would like to concentrate more on this type of scripture than the other, because in the book of Luke 21 and verse 36, which is going to be one of the things we're going to concentrate upon today, Jesus commanded us that we should pray always, that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Can you say amen? And I believe the prayers of those who are praying are inside this golden censer. Just before the announcement of the judgments, God remembered those prayers. Those prayers came up before the Lord. And the Lord, you know, it's like, now remember, you said they should pray that they may escape. Now the judgment is about to happen. Now these are the ones that have been praying. Are they going to escape? Well, we're going to find out here this morning. So this is what this verse 3 is all about. It's more important in my mind than all the judgments and so forth, because God remembered those prayers. Hallelujah. They came up before him. He remembered. And they, when they offered it before God, it was like a sweet incense. And Jesus remembered what he said. Ah, how he said that the people should pray, that they may be counted worthy to escape. And those prayers came before him just before the judgments were unleashed. And I guarantee you, some folks will escape. Amen. And the smoke of the incense. Now he's going to, you know, listen to that. I mean, he's going to, you know, just soak that in. The smoke of the incense of the prayers, which came, you know, the prayers of the saints ascended up before God and his angels. My land. And when he did that, God just soaked it. He ascended before God out of the hand of the angel. And the smoke of the incense, you know, the angel took the incense, the censer, filled it with fire of the altar. See, after God's done receiving the prayers, then the angel turned around and took some things from the altar and put it in the censer. And he's going to now pour that upon the earth. God has heard those prayers of the people who have been praying that they may be counted worthy to escape. Amen, somebody. And those who are counted worthy to escape, they will escape, because Jesus doesn't tell us to pray about something if he doesn't want to answer that prayer, you know. So some people are going to escape, but then he's going to feel that once that those prayers are gone out of the censer, they've gone out of the censer. He took now that same censer and he put the coals of altar from the altar, and now they're going to pour it, you see. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and he cast it into the earth. See, God will remember the prayers. But when he casts it into the earth, there's going to be voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Well, that earthquake and all the things that are to follow, announcing some great judgments to follow, they will not affect those who will escape. Amen. Because those prayers came up before him and he remembered. And the seven angels, we had the seven trumpets prepared to sound. And the first one sounded, and there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast into the earth. And the third part of the trees of the earth were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now, there are some serious judgments that begin to happen here. And I'm going through this very quickly, because the critical part of this message is going to come after I finish reading these judgments. And the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain, you know, burning with fire. It was like a volcanic eruption. A volcanic mountain just fell into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of all creatures that were in the sea and had life, they died, and all the ships were destroyed. Now, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. This is like, you know, a falling star, you know, a meteor or whatever, fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountain of waters, and the star was named Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and men died, you know, because of all those things, because the waters were made bitter. People died. It reminds us of like what happened in Egypt back in those days. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. Well, we remember that Jesus himself, he talked about, you know, after the tribulation of those days, the sun and the moon, things that will happen, you know, the moon will become like blood and so on. The third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the earth, you know, third part of them was darkened. The day was lost, half of the day, and the whole was dark, and there was darkness and fear upon everybody, you know. The night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven say the three more woes that he's going to announce now. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other three trumpet angels that are yet to sound. So four of them have sounded. Now, Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from her heaven, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened that bottomless pit. Now, you don't want to be here when that bottomless pit opens. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by the reason of that smoke. And out of it came forth locusts on the earth, and you know, to them was given power. Scorpions, you know, of the earth have power. And he was commanded them that, you know, locusts generally, they feed on vegetation and so forth. But these ones, they're not the kind of locusts that you think. This was what John saw, and he was describing in the best way he could. You know. But these ones were commanded, don't hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green tree, neither any tree, any green thing or any tree, but only those men that have not the seal of our God in their forehead. So we see a separation here. We see that there are some people that are sealed and protected, you know, and we're going to talk about some escape later on too. But we see that all those that didn't have the seal, remember he said, hurt not anything until we have sealed the servants of God. And he began to seal them, you know. And then now, commanding, he said, these things that are falling upon them, only for those that are not sealed. And to them was given that they should not kill men, but that they should torment them for 5 months. You know, as the torment of scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, you know, in those days, people would seek death, but they would not die. I mean, they would love to die. They would pray to die. I don't know if they would pray. Whatever it is, they want to die, but death will flee from them. They will be tormented 5 months. And from the day one of those 5 months, they were at the point of death, and they really wanted to die. But death will flee from them in those days. And then it goes on to describe, you know, those locusts. And we see that they are more than just locusts. You know, some real forces that were, you know, some demonic powers that were opened up from the bottomless pit. You know, they've been saved up all this time. And they shall be unleashed upon the earth. He that letteth will let. And once he's taken away, then these things will be unleashed. Now, and I begin to see some of the other things he describes, but I want to move this very quickly. They also had a king in around chapter 11. Verse 11. There's a king over them. You know, this tells you what kind of beasts these locusts were. The king over them had a name. It was the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Now, one woe is past. And two more woes hereafter. And then the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which were before God, saying to the sixth angels which had the trumpet, the sixth angel that had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. This they've been there waiting for such a time. You know. And the four angels were loosed. They were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay the third part of man. And it's going to be all kinds of judgments, folks. Slayings and all kinds of things. God will unleash, you know, judgments upon this earth. You say a great God, a kind God will do that? Yeah, because he's also a righteous God who will by no means clear the guilty unless they run to the ark of safety. Amen. Amen, folks. There's an ark of safety, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes after I finish these next few verses. The number of the army of the horsemen, you know, they were like 200 million. 200 million. It's just coming out, you know. And there's been many speculations about what these forces might be, you know, whether they are human armies or whatever they are and so forth. Well, I'm not getting into that this morning, you know, but I want to focus more on, you know, this thing, these forces are sent for a mission. To destroy those that have been destroying the earth. And, you know, that's their mission. All the judgments, the day of vengeance of our God is come when these things begin to happen. And God's not going to hold back. But there is a plan of great escape. And I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes. I saw The horses in the vision and them that sat upon it, breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, their heads, you know, had, you know, they looked like heads of lions, their mouths, smoke and fire and so forth. I mean, just looked like, you know, some military warfare and things like that. I mean, they're throwing out brimstone, they're throwing out fire and smoke. You know, we don't know exactly what they are. I mean, John, it was crowd, you know. They just looked at what he saw and reported what he saw. By this, the third part of the men were killed, and by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. You know, and the power is in their mouth and also in their tails. You know, their tail was like these serpents with a sting and so forth. And with these, they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by this plague, you know, instead of them to run to the Lord, they did not repent. He said they repented yet not of their evil works which they did, neither that they should not worship devils or idols of gold and silver and brass and so on, and stone or wood, you know, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent. So the judgment continued upon their head. Neither did they repent of their murders, you know, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So we see that, keep the children quiet, please. We see that there was a lot of judgment coming upon the earth once the day of vengeance of our Lord resumes or starts, you know. And all of these things will happen. But I want to take a step back, and for the next session, the next part of this teaching or message this morning, I want to focus on what Jesus said to us about how we may escape. Now, these things are coming. I mean, whether you believe that they're coming or not, you know, that's not the point. In the days of Lot, well, that's not even a good example. In the days of Noah, because Lot didn't have a time to warn anybody, you know, but in the days of Noah, Noah had many, many years that he was probably building the ark, and the people were asking what, and he probably telling them God's going to destroy the ark, you know, and they've laughed him to scorn. It's never rained before. I mean, these things cannot happen. You know, well, you know, many, many years, you know, that he was a testimony and a testament to that generation. And they didn't listen. Well, but the day that Noah entered the ark with all those animals and shut the door, then God opened up the windows of the deeps and he wiped them all out. Because they could have entered into the ark of safety. I guarantee you, anybody that went into Noah's ark would have been saved. Amen. Amen, people. But they did not. And so they were wiped away. I'm going to read that to you in the scripture in just a few minutes. But let's go back to Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Remember the prayers in the golden vials. You know, Jesus, if you can read from Luke 21, you can read from verse 34. He begins to say, look, let not your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. The face of the whole earth, folks, the day is coming as a snare. Nobody's going to know the day. It will come as a snare. But some people, even though it comes upon us unexpected, some people will be ready. Amen. And they may escape, you know, if they follow what we are going to say here this morning. And what did Jesus say that they should do? Verse 36. Luke 21 and verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. This is what Jesus said we should do. Now, never mind the judgments. I mean, we're not going to go too deep into that because I want to focus on those things. If I have to teach on those judgments, it would take me 6 months, you know, but I just want to look. You can escape and you can watch from a vantage point in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is what Jesus commanded us to do, and this is what we better be doing, folks. But how shall you escape, Hebrews 2 and 3, if you neglect what Jesus said here, if you neglect the plan of salvation, and you neglect the things that Jesus told us to be doing, how shall you escape? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. This next few verses is going to show us that God has not appointed us to wrath. You know, because some people think that, you know, God's going to pour all this wrath upon everybody. Oh, no. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Can you say amen, somebody? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you something. God has appointed one day in the which, in the day of judgment and the day of vengeance of our God, he is going to pour his wrath upon the earth. Now, if we are not appointed unto wrath, and God is going to pour his wrath upon the earth, and Jesus has been asking us and commanding us to pray that we may escape, well, therein is the great plan of escape. The great plan of escape is if you pray always, not sometimes, not one day or 5 days or once in a month or once in 5 months. No, if you pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape the wrath of God that's coming and to stand before the Son of Man, he will answer those prayers because he will remember the golden vial. Amen. Those prayers will come before him. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In the book of Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, when we get deeper into the other chapters of the book of Revelation, we'll see how John goes back and forth and re-explains some things. Not the whole book is in chronological order. Sometimes he comes back and re-explains some things. Some vision go this way, another vision go that way. But in the book of Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, you know, talking about the destruction of Babylon that's coming, here's what he said. He said, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." So we see that, you know, when there's something is going to be poured out, you know, here, there may be some people that will escape because they come out of her. I'm just giving an illustration that every time that God pours out judgment, there are sometimes some people escapes. We see that in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. God came down and said, I'm going to go over there. I've heard the reports against Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm come down to see if it's, you know, what it is. You know, and we see that Abraham interceded and so forth, you know. And some people escaped. Lot and his family escaped, but God destroyed the rest of them, you know. So we've seen every time there's been this kind of destruction, some people escape. Even the time of Noah. Noah and his family and all those animals escaped. So there's always some escape. There's always a plan of escape that God leaves. You know, and in this case, he says that you may not be partaker of her place. Now, the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, turn with me. In this book, a parallel vision that Ezekiel had about God sealing some people before some judgment will come. And we're going to talk about that sealing in just a few minutes. So turn with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 9. And some of us fondly refer to this chapter as the story of the ink horn writer. Now, the ink horn writer, let's see what he does. Here God judges and passes judgment. You know, he said, verse 1 of Ezekiel 9. He cried also in my eyes with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. And every man with his destroying weapon in his hand, you know, and so forth. And some, God has these angels, you know, they bear swords. You know, remember the cherubim with the drawn sword, you know, and, you know, many times the angel, you know, that appeared before, you know, the cherubim that he put in the Garden of Eden to keep the way of the tree of life and so forth, you know. And, you know, many times the angel that appeared before the ass that spoke was going to destroy the prophet that disobeyed the Lord. He had a drawn sword. And these angels, they had a drawn sword. 6 men came out. And every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. And among them, you know, was one that was clothed with linen. He had a writer's ink horn. This is verse 2. And they went and stood beside his brazen altar. Remember the story and the, you know, depiction of the temple and so forth, the outer court, the brazen altar, and all these things. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub where he was, and he was in the threshold of the house. And he called to the man with the linen that had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men. Notice, mark the forehead of the men that are sighing and crying for all the abominations that are done in the land thereof. Now, so there are some people that, you know, they are just nonchalant. They don't care about anything that's going on. I mean, you see all the evil that's in the world. You see homosexuality running rampant. You see all kinds of things. You see people worshiping devils and so on. Some people just don't care. I mean, you know, we have destructions everywhere. Some people just don't care. You know, we have all so much damage and people just killing one another. Some people just don't care. But there are some that are crying and sighing for all the abominations done thereby. And this story depicted that. And the Lord said, okay, for those ones that are crying and praying, go and set a mark on their forehead. Hallelujah, somebody. Put a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And then to the others that were standing back with their sword, go after the inkhorn writer and begin to smite. And let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly young and old, both maids and little children, women and so forth, you know. But he gave them strict command. Do not come near any man that had the mark that I just placed on them for sighing and crying against the abominations of the land. That's one way. That's one way that you can escape, is not identify with the things of the world. Distinguish yourself, you know, by denouncing those things, the works of that uncleanness, you know, and praying towards God, you know, and asking God for mercy. You know, he said, skip those ones that have the mark upon their head and begin at my sanctuary. Now, that's a dangerous message for everybody. Don't think that, you know, just because people say we go to church and so forth, that they are going to be saved. No, they're only going to be saved if they have the seal of God upon their head. They're only going to be saved if they are inside the ark of safety and they have, you know, the plan, they're inside God's plan of escape. That's the only way that we are going to escape, folks. You know, because the judgment will begin at the sanctuary. And they began, you know, ancient men, old men, young men, everybody. They wiped them out, you know, and so forth like that. So we see that, you know, what God did there. Now, there is a group of people here that escaped because God had mercy upon them and he marked them. There's also coming something that's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. He said, look, alas, alas, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, alas for the day. The day, you know, a day is great. It's none like it. It's like the time of Jacob's trouble, you know. But Jacob, also called known as Israel, shall be saved out of it. Well, not all Israel will be saved, you know, but a nation will be born in one day. That's a remnant. That's 144,000 that will be sealed and saved when their time comes. But we're talking about, you know, we're not talking about national Israel. I mean, this one is for them and so forth. But there is a tribulation that's coming upon all the world. There's a great tribulation at the end. That's what we're talking about. We don't live in Israel. You know, they have their own things to deal with. And God has a plan for them as well. You know, but for us, Jesus said, pray that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things. Now, notice that the time of Jacob's trouble that we just read, God already took care of them in Revelation chapter 7. He sealed those that were going to escape. For us, you know, we see a story here. You know, every time that God talks about Zion and Jerusalem and things like that that he does in the Bible, it's a parallel, you know, sometimes to the church and the things that he will do with the rest of the world. So we see also this story that we just read in Ezekiel chapter 9, how that, you know, some will escape. Now, God has given a great plan of escape. In Matthew chapter 24, from verses 37 to 41. Matthew 24, verse 27, if you can put that up quickly. You know, Jesus is talking about, you know, how these things will happen. For as lightning come out from the east, shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, when these destructions on the day of vengeance, when it begins to come, some will be a secret thing. You know, verse 28. These things will be happening. They are going to be coming upon the world, you know, and everybody is going to see it. And God is going to bring that destruction. But there's always, every time he talks about these destructions, there is always a way of escape that he brings in. You know, a way of escape that he brings in. So let's look at the way of escape that he brings in. You know, so I'm going to jump to verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, this was the one I actually wanted to read. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what happened in the days of Noah? Well, in the days of Noah, they that were before the flood, you know, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and going about their business and doing all their things, you know, and they were just, they paid no attention to all the warnings and so forth. How great God's warnings were, they paid no attention until the flood came and took them all away. The day that Noah entered in the ark, that was the end of the story and shut the door. You know, so we don't want to be like that. Now, the days of vengeance. Luke 21 and verse 22. Jesus said, these be the days of vengeance. Now, he was telling them, he projecting the future. When he went to the temple and read the book, he stopped short of that and just said, this is the time of acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't go into the day of vengeance, but before he left, when they were asking him, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign that coming, and of the end of the world, and so on, he began to tell them, well, those days will be the day of vengeance, that all things that are written might be fulfilled. You know, but in those days of vengeance, there's going to be a way of escape. Now, I'm going to close this segment by reading a beautiful scripture. A beautiful scripture. And when I have time, next time, I'm going to go more and expand into this. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this is a scripture we've heard. Many people have heard this scripture read, not in the church, but they hear it read at funerals. Now, this scripture is not about funerals. And it's not for funerals at all. It's for the great plan of escape. And I'm going to read it here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's start from about verse 15. Now, the reason people read this thing at funerals and stuff is because Paul was saying, look, we don't want you to sorrow about those who have died and so forth. You know, even those of us who are alive, we're not going to prevent the others that died and all that, you know. But, you know, so this thing is often read because of that. Often read many, many times in funerals and so forth. But I'm not talking about funerals this morning. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? I'm talking about something very, very special. Verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not an opinion. This is not guesswork. This is not prediction. Paul said, we say this unto you by the word of the Lord. So this is the word of the Lord, folks. Oh, yes. Which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay, that's good. But let's go to verse 16. For the Lord himself, and you can underline himself in your Bible. Now, is this one around? He's not sending just an angel. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Can somebody say amen? Oh, yes, they will be accompanied by the archangel, and they'll be blowing their trumpets and so forth like that. But the Lord himself will come in. The dead in Christ will rise first, you know, and then we which are alive and remain. We're not talking about the dead in Christ. Well, people who do die before then, this is their hope too. Amen. Those that die in Christ, the Bible says, blessed are those that die in Christ hereafter, for their works do follow them, and they shall cease from their labors. Now, for those that die in Christ, this is their hope, that then everything is not lost, because they will rise first. But for us who are alive, this is our great escape. Then we which are alive and remain, folks, shall be caught up. This is the word of the Lord. We say this to you by the word of the Lord. This is not opinion. This is not some imagination. There's those who are alive and remain. Remember, we which are alive and remain. Can somebody say, we which are alive and remain? you don't say, maybe you won't be among those that remain. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. And this next verse is the most beautiful thing that I ever read in the scripture. This next line. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, this is not just a one-time visit to his presence. This is, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you say amen to that if that sounds good in your ears? This is the great escape, folks. And this is the plan. But how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? The way of salvation is plainly written. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 begins to tell us, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. That teaching us, you know, starting from verse 11 and so on, I have to go back a couple of verses, teaching us that, you know, denying ungodliness and worldly lust and all these things and so forth, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that glorious hope. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Give the Lord some hand clap here this morning if you are looking for that. But before you can look for that, first, you have to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that has appeared unto all men. You have to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and you have to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And then you are looking for that blessed hope. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, this is one of the greatest things. And look at what Jesus promised in John chapter 14. He began to talk to his disciples. He said, look, in my Father's house, there are many mansions and so forth, and I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Turn with me quickly to that. Let's read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he said, there are many mansions. And I, if it were not so, I would have told you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And if I go, did he go? Folks, did Jesus go? You can read it in Acts chapter 1. This same Jesus that is taken from you shall also in like manner come back again. He went. If I go. Now, if he didn't go, the Holy Spirit would not have come. But the Holy Spirit came to prove that he went. Now, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. This is what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the great escape plan, folks. And if you are here this morning, maybe this is over your head. Well, let's put it simple. If you believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world, you believe that in your heart. And if you can confess it with your mouth, not only when you are at church, but elsewhere, I say that I believe that Jesus came and died for my sins and he rose again on the third day. If you can confess it with your mouth after you've believed in your heart, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that thou shalt be saved. And if you neglect so great a plan of salvation, there is no other way of escape. Because there is no salvation in any other. We're talking about Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Neither is there salvation. This is the stone, folks, which the builders rejected. But he's become the head of the corner. They rejected him. They say, oh, no, crucify him. Well, he became the head of the corner, folks. You know, and there is no salvation in any other. There's no way on earth that you can be saved any other way. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And you must be saved in order to escape from the torments that are coming. I want us to rise to our feet here this morning. And I'm also going to prove to you the power of his resurrection. How can I prove that? Well, God, I'm going to pray for you this morning if you are sick, in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he heals you, you'll know that he's alive. Amen. That's what the apostles used to do in those days, you know. Peter would say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, and when they were healed, they were looking and said, what happens? The man had faith, but nonetheless, it was faith in the name of Jesus that I given this man the perfect soundness before you all. Now, having heard this message this morning, that has come in the judgment of God upon this world, but God has made a way of escape. I want to challenge you this morning, beginning today, to begin to do what Jesus said. These are those prayers that are in Revelation 8 verse 3. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Some people will escape, not everybody. But are you going to be among those that will escape? I want to see your hand up if you want to be among those that will escape. You want to be those that will escape here this morning? Now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Begin to pray what Jesus asked us to do. Open your mouth and begin to pray. And say, Lord, help me. Let me be counted worthy to be among those that will escape. To escape all these judgments that are coming. And to stand before. Open your mouth and pray. You've got to pray, folks. Pray for yourself. That's what Jesus said. Pray always that you may escape these things. God will count you worthy if you are praying daily that you may escape. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, grant us the grace that we may understand these things so that we may run into God's ark of safety, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And if you are here this morning and you haven't run into the ark of safety, I'm going to give you just one chance. Come on down here and stand and say, I want to escape. And if you haven't been sure in your heart that you are going to escape, come on down this morning. I'm going to ask you one more time. Come down here, then God will have mercy upon you. Now, also, if you are sick this morning and you need healing, and we can demonstrate the power. It doesn't take God very long. I can do this in 2 minutes. It doesn't take God a long time. If we want to demonstrate the power of his resurrection, that you may know that the name of Jesus has been highly exalted above every name. Hallelujah. If you are sick this morning, whatever it is, doctors even gave you up about anything and so forth. Are you standing for somebody that you know that is sick? Come out here this morning and I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe God. And we're going to see how that God can do this. And if the Lord will do this for you, I ask you only one thing. You know, in what name do we pray for the sick when we pray? In the name of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. God is not going to answer our prayer if we are praying in the name of somebody that's dead. You know, don't worry about that. You know, well, we pray in the name of somebody who is alive. He is alive and well. Behold, I was he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And I have the keys of hell and death. And he's got a plan of escape. Now, you are here this morning. Whatever you are believing God for, I'm going to believe God with you quickly. This won't take very long. We're just going to believe God. Hallelujah. Raise up your hand, sister. Let's believe God together. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, move upon the person that she's standing for. And work a miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus. The great creator, he can create. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let it be known that this same Jesus that we preach here today, that the Lord has made him both Lord and Christ. And through his name, by faith in his name, these prayers are made this morning. And let the bodies be healed. And let the answers be given to their prayers this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray for her. Whatever she's in for here this morning. And give her an understanding also concerning the plan of salvation. And Lord Jesus, work a miracle for her this morning. And grant, oh God, that the mighty name of Jesus will grant miracles here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for your daughter. Raise your hands up, my sister. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Move upon her this morning also. Work a miracle for her. Hallelujah. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your prayers are answered. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, young man, believe the Lord. Hallelujah. God also has a plan of escape for you. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will have salvation to those who I will have salvation. And compassion to whom I will have compassion. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. In Jesus' mighty name. Heal and work a miracle for him in Jesus' name. Amen. And come over here. Hallelujah. What would you like Jesus to do for you, young lady? Do you love Jesus? Yes, she does. Father, Lord, watch over her. The Bible says, woe unto anyone that will hurt the least of these, my little children, who are better than a milestone, a millstone, be put on their neck and cast into the bottom of the river, than for them should hurt any one of these little children. Lord, thank you for protecting her in Jesus' name. Thank you for your daughter. Raise your hands up. Let's believe God. Lord Jesus, work a miracle. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Let her prayers be answered. And let her be healed. And God, the great creator, he will renew. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, he stands here in prayer. And Holy Spirit, reach out into your heart and pull it up. God, the great God, through the name of our Lord Jesus, only by his name, you stand here in healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever else is in your heart, the Lord will do it and give you rest and peace in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The praise team may come up. The praise team may come up. Thank you for your patience. We went a little over, but don't worry about it. I think it was worth it for you to hear that message. You can listen to that message again when it is on the website so that you can know how you may escape.